This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, Slate Magazine's media writer Jack Schaefer on tabloid magazines. Jack's a Martian, of course. First, this, a dispatch from South America, from the high plains region of the Andes Mountains, where the Ouro Indians live on man-made reed islands that float on Lake Titicaca. This lake straddles the border of Peru and Bolivia. It's very big, and it's the highest navigable lake in the world. For hundreds, perhaps thousands of years, the lake protected the Ouro, and they lived more or less in isolation, surviving by fishing and hunting. Nowadays, tourists can get out to them with motorboats. As Reese Ehrlich reports, that's both good and bad.
The motor launch taking us out on Lake Titicaca needs a lot of encouragement. Finally, we're on our way. The 3,200-square-mile lake shimmers with an intense deep green. At 12,500 feet above sea level, the air is thin and clear. In some ways, the Ouros live as they have for many years. We pass a small boat rowed by an Ouro woman dressed in a derby hat and colorful skirt.
We call that a fishing boat. It's like an individual taxi to get people to and from the shore.
Alejandro Lojano, an Ouro leader, says some 1,500 Indians here create their own islands made from tortora reeds. The light, hollow reeds float on the water, but need constant replacement as they deteriorate. There are some 50 floating islands on Lake Titicaca, with anywhere from 1 to 5 families each. We pull up to one island. It's only about 10 square yards. The Ouro women have just laid down a fresh layer of green reeds, which the men have gathered from the outer edges of the lake. It looks like an island made from sugarcane stalks. Walking is a little like stepping into 3 feet of dry leaves and dirt. You constantly sink and shift. Scholars can't agree on how the Ouros first came to build these islands. Some say they fled to the lake fearing attacks by the Incas 1,000 years ago. Others say they fled the Spanish. Lojano has his own theory.
The beginnings of the Ouros was not with the Incas or the Spanish, but much earlier. They fled the rains. They made reed boats and survived the rains. It was more than 2,000 years ago, even before the birth of Christ.
Whatever the truth about their origins, the Ouros remained in self-isolation for centuries. They fished, hunted water birds, and even grew small amounts of potatoes on their reed islands. When a new couple got together, they established their own island and started a family. Some of those traditions carry on today. Life on the islands can be very isolating, so young people often hook up at weddings and fiestas when the disparate community gets together. That's how 24-year-old Anna Coila met her husband.
It was a fiesta of San Santiago. We danced together. We were both single. That's how we got to know each other. I was 20 years old. It was love at first sight.
Lojano says such traditions were largely unknown to the outside world because the Ouros kept strangers at bay.
40 years ago, we didn't allow visitors to the islands. My grandparents told me when I was little that visitors would bring a bad way of life. We didn't want anyone to bother us. We lived a very practical and individual life. My grandmother made sweaters for the tourists, but the Ouros didn't like tourism.
But these days, Ouros no longer live in isolation. The government has built them an elementary school, anchored with concrete. Ouro children can attend high school on shore. But other kinds of contact with society causes problems. Commercial fishing boats dump garbage, and farmers allow pesticides to drain into the lake.
There is tremendous pollution in the lake. The lake doesn't wash it away. It's disastrous for the future. No one cares except some university professors who have studied it. That's one of our tasks for this year, to bring pressure to clean up the lake.
With fewer fish and birds, the Ouros have come to rely more on tourism. Both Peruvian and foreign visitors can now take organized boat tours to visit the islands and buy Ouro handicrafts, such as handmade tapestries and small reed boats. Tourism provides much-needed income, but also significantly changes the traditional culture, according to Giovanni Manrique, a local radio reporter who has long followed the Ouro story.
Some of these islands didn't exist 5 years ago. The Ouros created these new islands closer to shore in order to attract tourists. The traditional islands are further back on the lake and aren't accessible by motorboat.
Some of the Ouros now stay on their islands during the day and commute to land at night. The number who maintain their traditional lifestyle is shrinking. For many, however, tourism is one of the few ways they can survive at all. For NPR News, I'm Reese Erlich.